Welcome to the TNT EdTech Podcast. We know tech. We are your hosts.
I'm Scott, the teacher.
And I'm Matthew, the tech coach. Welcome, everybody, to the TNT EdTech Podcast with Matthew Ketchum. And we have over there.
Scott Nunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Mr. Nunes Teach. It's awesome to have you back, Matthew. What do we got in store? What are we starting out with? Folks are chiming in. Be sure to let us know you're here in the chat. If you're watching on Facebook, make sure to allow StreamYard so that your posts will show up for us and we can show them up on the screen.
So Scott, we have where we're going to kind of go over our new roles that we have this school year, and we're going to be interviewing each other, asking questions to each other about those new roles, and then we'll get into comparing some EdTech apps today, doing a little bit of share out of some EdTech tools that we're getting involved with, and lead that into updates and how to thrive right now.
Yeah, and I'm going to post this back up. Shout out to Melissa Stone from our local PLN.
Woo-woo. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so thanks for tuning in. That is awesome. We're happy to have you, and feel free to jump in and share anything or, just add to the banter, I guess.
Scott, can I just say something?
Yeah.
I just really appreciate what you've done right now with TNT EdTech Podcast. Because we got into different new roles that we'll share here in a bit, you have been very mindful and been a great friend to balance this podcast as I was working in my new role. And I really appreciate you keeping this podcast going until I could be here today.
Thank you. And likewise, like, you know what I really learned through this time is how much I need you in your editing skills. I abhor editing. I hate it. So the fact that you're willing to do the edits and help out and, you know, talk about like the banter and all of that, it doesn't work as well with one person. You have to be so dynamic, right?
Right.
In order for it to work. So there's definitely some piece that was missing. There's a piece that you add. I want to give a quick shout out to our buddy, Tyler. He's watching from Idaho. He's got his own podcast going. Tyler, I'm blanking on the name of your podcast. So share it out so I can give you a plug on the show. Thanks again for watching.
Hey, Scott, there's a Ketchum, Idaho, a city.
That's cool. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I should go. It's a popular ski resort, I understand.
Oh, okay. Hey, with all the beautiful snow we've been getting, I've been tempted to go, but with a new baby, I'm like, how's that going to work out? Like my wife can't chill at like the little ski resort while I take the kids skiing. So I don't know. And I don't want to drive through the snow and all of that. So we'll see. Tyler shared out his podcast. It's the Teacher Dudes. And he's not near Ketchum at all. Oh, Ketchum. Oh, here he goes. Or Ketchum, as they also say. Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm sure, Matthew, you've gotten a little bit of that. Yes or no?
I had a math teacher in seventh grade who would call me every name except ketchup. He would say mustard, lettuce, tomato, relish, and our onions. He would say everything else but that. And sometimes I wouldn't even know if it was me, but he goes, cheese. What do you think, cheese? And I was like, well, I guess it's me.
What? Well, talk about what not to do, right? We learn from those moments through our own educational and life experiences. I think that's a huge reason why I'm in education today, not necessarily because of all the things that went right, but all the things that went wrong. Now, saying that doesn't mean that I didn't have great teachers that influenced me. I definitely did, but For some reason, those negative experiences stick out a little bit more, resonate and motivate me to go a little deeper. I can think of one. I started my own web design business when I was 12. And, okay. You know, I really struggled with that. And then when I got into high school, I thought, oh, things are going to change. I have more access. I'm going to try and do websites for teachers. They were not receptive to it. I got compliments for my tenacity. So what I did was, you know, I designed a little flyer because we're back in the 90s. So designed a flyer and put all my contact info and said, hey, let me know if you're interested in a free web design, you know, so I can get some experience and share out. And not a single teacher out of, I don't know how many, maybe like 50 teachers there took me up on that offer. I'm curious if Mike Rich, my boss and your former boss, remembers getting that flyer. Probably not. He was there at that time or pretty close. So I'm curious.
Yeah, you have to ask him.
I'll have to ask him. Hey, you ever remember getting a flyer for some kid wanting to do a website for you back in the 90s? He probably got a bunch of those, but it was like it was one of those like resilience building moments. It was like, okay, you're going to get no a lot before you get that yes. And when you get that yes, it's going to make that yes that much more enjoyable. But enough about me. I want to talk about you and hear about your new role. So what is it you're doing? What's your official title? Let's start there, Matthew.
I am a director of educational technology in our school district. Started this school year in this new position. So previously the technology coach. And this is the role was held by a gentleman who worked in our district for 20 some plus years, and he helped make a new position, a director position. And so I am in this new role that was designed for starting out this school year, and lots of learning in the new role, but
yeah.
So a lot of opportunities and ideas I've had over many years. Now I'm in somewhat of a driver's seat to start to make things happen as well.
No, you have a lot of cool projects in the works. I know one that you're able to share that recently came out. I'm excited to share out with all of our listeners. And I've been waiting for the official, like, okay to share it out, because I think it's something that a lot of districts need and can use as a model and template and kind of curtail to their own needs, really, because each place is different, each site, and this will offer like a really big picture set of resources. And I love being able to contribute in terms of ideas. Now, you and your team built everything, but it was cool that I was able to participate just in, you know, ideation and exploration in those phases, you know, during the construction of this.
So, yeah, no, really totally. Cool. I think a lot of times I think you talk to this a lot, you know, involving the stakeholders, but I like to reach out to as many people that I can and kind of get those inputs on some of the projects that we're doing. Just in the end, you want to make sure you involve your customer and in the products that you're making that we're creating for educators.
Yeah, you're right. I'm definitely all about like the lattice of voices and bringing stakeholders from various levels. And another big thing is really adhering to Dunbar's principles. So Dunbar essentially says that you can't have a meaningful relationship within a group of people of over 150. So keeping those circles smaller and having more circles that are interconnected, so those voices are heard not just in one circle, but in many circles. And you have leaders, not just in our traditional leadership and admin roles, but leaders at every site. And that includes student and community leaders as well. I think, that's something we're really starting to see across the nation more and more. And I'm excited to just do what I can in my role to help out with that.
No, I go to Scott for a lot of things.
And vice versa too. I know, with my new role as an ed tech coach, the number one response initially was, ask Matthew about that. what would Matthew do? And so I think I've shared this with you. Yeah. As I'm going into a project or a scenario, I'm putting on my Matthew thinking cap and I'm like, what would Matthew do in this situation? You know, how would he set up this PD? What's his process? You know, how's he checking for understanding? Because even though I'm different, you have such great rapport with our local PLN and you're well known locally. Like I may be a little better known, possibly, I don't know. You know, more on the national scale, but within our local PLN, I mean, you're the guy. You're the guy I learned from and got my start from. So people know to go to you. And with this new role, you've had to kind of relinquish that a little bit and delegate more. You know, what's that been like for you?
Yeah, I think in my new role as director is empowering others as well. It's not just myself or what I'm doing, but working with the department, the team, the division, like you said, working with the stakeholders in the whole process. But you have to as a director, because you're involved in so many meetings.
Right.
There's like actually no time during the day to actually work on individual projects. So it's definitely project management.
Mm-hmm.
It's supporting the team and working with them on those projects and that guidance. But it's right now it's definitely the only way we can kind of move forward is me working with others and delegating.
Yeah. And you do a great job of that. And I know your team appreciates you and they're really rallying for you to get that position as well. You have a great team. We've got to hang out at conferences the last couple of years. So I'm missing that part. Like, of course we talk during work and we connect, but it's not like going to the conferences. There isn't this downtime to just kind of chill and be yourself. I can think back to Schoology Next 2 years ago, 2018. I remember playing ping pong with a couple members of the team and just blowing off some steam in the middle of the conference. Like we didn't go to a session and decided to eat and play ping pong and kind of recharge our batteries before going to the next session. And you got to do that sometimes. I think that's a big thing that districts really need to incorporate, some downtime, encouraging that, helping teachers find some meaningful activities. Yes, of course, they got to get the work done. And yes, there's more work. But how can we leverage things like tech to kind of give them back some of that time and then encourage them to properly reinvest it so that they can recharge those batteries? I want to take a quick moment to acknowledge Tyler's comment here in terms related to the what would Matthew do comment. He says, what would Keith do is something that's said daily at my school, which means restart, check for updates, really just asking him for help. And yeah, there's a lot of that right now. And you know, it's funny sometimes, and I don't know if you had this issue, sometimes it's hard to track down people who need your help. Like sometimes I'll get an email and I'll be corresponding with that person throughout the day because we keep kind of missing each other in those emails. Any pro tips for me kind of trying to fill some big shoes as a tech coach there? What would Matthew do in that situation?
And can you share the situation?
Yeah. So I'm trying, teacher has a problem. I'm okay. Trying to help the teacher, okay. But it's not just like a simple, like, oh, I can type it back or show them a video. I have to kind of walk them through because I also want them to learn and I want them to show me they know what they're doing. And not just me you know, like, here's the solution, here you go, have fun, but really be there, because there's this emotional tie, you know. Yeah. It's about building rapport for me, especially being new in the role. I want to connect with them, have them know that I'm here to help. And so what do you do when you're playing like email tag, right? Yeah. And you're going back and forth and you're not really connecting? How can you kind of just boom, kind of make it happen more quickly rather than having that process take longer than you want?
Yeah, you're kind of an interesting situation. So when I was in your position, we weren't distance learning, right?
Right.
So I, at that time, the role was every day I was at a school site. And mm-hmm. there definitely was a schedule. So teachers knew when I would be at their certain school site on what days to kind of sign up with me. But in that situation, once you start to see what they're doing at different school sites, you can start to align with those teachers, right? So if I was able to meet with this teacher, I might suggest, oh, you know, this teacher who's at your school site, they're also doing that. You might check in with them and just see how that's going, find out a little bit more about it. So I would do that a lot. I would match people up a lot if I couldn't. And then I would just, and I guess in your situation with distance learning, is there any time before, after school, or on your prep period that works for you that we can meet up and doing the scheduling with the teams meeting at this point? But I think matching other people up and then just seeing what.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Before, after, or prep time.
Yeah, I think that's good. And I think just like, you know, being patient to like waiting for that time. Like usually like, it's like, oh, I've identified this issue. Okay, I'm ready to help. And even though the teacher's asking for help, it's still really important to do things kind of on their time. And for those that are in the classroom, like, hey, maybe you've identified a need with the student, but maybe now's not, maybe, you know, in class isn't the time. Maybe you got to take some time after or another day, or, you know, it involves bringing in other supports and stakeholders like parents, or maybe, you know, another supportive teacher, or, you know, pairing them up with their peers, that zone of proximal difference there. I want to get into our ed tech debates here. Essentially what we were thinking here, everyone that's tuning in, Matthew and I would compare two like products, and the other one would kind of chime in and give their two cents and see if the other person did an adequate job comparing the two like products. So I'll start off with this, and then Matthew will go to you. So the two products I have are Canva and Adobe Spark. So those that are watching, put in the chat right now, are you team Canva?
I know what team I am.
Team Adobe Spark. Which one are you, Matthew? I think I know based upon your videos and your graphics, but I want to hear it from you.
All right. Canva.
Ugh.
I know. I like Spark. I do, but I know. My go-to is Canva.
Okay, so here's why they're both good. So okay. I'll say that they're both good, and I'm really proud of Canva for catching up. So initially, I started with Spark, and Tyler's with me. Go Team Spark. And I know Brian Carpenter from Canada would agree with me as well on this. Initially, Canva, it didn't do a really good job with the layers. So coming from a graphic design standpoint, like coming from using the Adobe Creative Suite and then jumping into Canva, like sometimes layers would lock and I couldn't move them, or there wasn't a nice intuitive way to play in between layers when you're doing more advanced graphics. So for basic templated graphics, you need something super quick. It worked. The other thing was Canva used to run much slower than Adobe Spark. Now I would say on my machine, they run about the same generally until I start loading a bunch of graphics there. And I would say ultimately when I start getting really heavy, Adobe Spark handles the load a little bit better. So it really depends on your needs. I would say for most users, 80, 90% of users, this would not be an issue. There is one big plus and perk to using Canva that I just learned about from Tim Cavey in the Teachers on Fire segment. And forgive me, I can't remember if it came from Erica or from Jen from that show, but it was showcasing how in Canva you can export as a GIF. And I thought, hey, that's pretty cool. You can't do that in Adobe Spark yet. So Adobe, please fix that for me. Please, please, please. Because what I'm having to do is I download it and I import it into something else to make a GIF out of it. So I would like that feature. That would be a downside. But I love the video feature and the animation feature of Adobe Spark. And I like all the assets and the library that you now have for the premium version. So that's another thing. Canva, you get the premium version if you're an educator, which is super cool, but not necessarily for Adobe Spark. I think if Adobe gave educators like the premium version for free, we have it because at our site, we use the Adobe Creative Suite and it kind of comes with that. I would like to see that happen because there are a lot of premium items, which are great. I love that I don't have to think about the design elements, the basics, you know, the color schemes. Adobe's kind of taken that out of the equation for me. And I like their designs a little bit better than Canva. I know some people would disagree. What do you think, Matthew?
No, you have really good points there. I would definitely use for in the classroom Adobe Spark with the students.
Okay. Why is that?
Well, I think it's even more user-friendly. Okay. And it gives them different creative options, right? They could do a digital story, they could do a graphic, like you said, they could do like a website type of portfolio project with it. So I think it has some diversity of creativity options in it. So I think that's why I like it for the classroom. Canva, I use personally for like the projects that I'm doing.
I noticed.
So some of those reasons are, it, you know, like you were saying, you know, I'm not coming from, you know, the what is it, desktop publishing
era.
And so this gives me professional looking templates that are easy for me quickly to kind of customize and start using. The other thing I like with Canva, and you can let me know if Spark can do this, I actually do live collaborating with other team members in Canva.
So I believe you can. Now, I haven't done that. So Claudio Zavala, shout out to Claudio. Woo-woo. I have to tag him in the show notes and give him a heads up. Great guy, which we got to pause because if you all are not following Claudio right now, you need to be in terms of video and design. He is the man hands down right now in education. Sure, some people can do it outside of education really well, like Valentina V and Daniel Flores. Check them out on Twitter and social media as well for creative design projects. But for education, he's like the go-to. And overall, across, you know, product suites, I would say Claudio. And he did this complete tutorial after they went through a redesign of the user interface, and he showcases all the new things. And I know in there you can collab, but I'm not sure if it's a premium feature. So if somebody knows, throw it in the chat so I could throw it up on the screen. I'd love a little help there. One other thing is we talked about my background coming into play. I really like how the Adobe Creative Suite elements are embedded in Adobe Spark. It's almost like you have Photoshop and Illustrator with training wheels.
Okay.
You know, not to downplay it, but the basics are there and then you can kind of scale up. So if you know Spark well and you go to Photoshop or Illustrator, some of the features, the elements, the layering, that's going to transfer. The same would from Canva as well, but I think the menu layouts are a little bit better. And personally, for professional design, I don't think Adobe can be beat. There are similar products, but I think Adobe, by and large, wins that too. Who knows? Maybe it's because I've been using Adobe products since I was about 14 in high school. I made my first GIF with Adobe Photoshop. So I'll have to find it and throw it in there. Maybe when you're talking, I'll pull it up. I got it hidden somewhere. I could probably throw it in a chat somewhere.
I don't think I got into any Adobe products. I had a marketing class in college.
Okay.
And we used Illustrator to create the
custom logo. Yeah.
And I at that time I was just learning what a vector graphic is and mm-hmm. all the benefits of vector images, and I always thought that was really interesting.
No, like vectors are where it's at. Yeah, because you can scale them up, scale them down. So if you want a crisp, clear image, and you might remember when we were doing the logo design, I'm like, it's got to be a vector so we can scale it. And so typically, and this has changed over the last, estimating here, it's going to show my age, last 10 years or so, before Photoshop didn't have the ability to do vectors, maybe in some things, but it was largely rasterized. And so kind of, if you wanted something big, you had to start out with this big design. It really didn't scale, and now it does. And so it's really neat to see where it's gone, and them bringing in all the AI and machine learning with their product suite to do all these advanced kind of macros and features. It's super cool.
Yeah, just what our mobile devices can do, just taking a picture now, the computational power for our images, it's pretty neat.
No.
So do you do a winner in this or?
No, just all go right. Into yours. No winners or losers. It's right. Self debate, unless somebody totally gets it wrong. Unless I painted a complete straw man argument.
Okay.
So what do you have up on deck? What are you?
So a popular one that we're looking at is the interactive presentation tools.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have up here Nearpod and Pear Deck.
Okay. So,
what do you think, Scott?
Okay, I'm going to say Team Nearpod, and okay. I'm with you if you're saying Team Nearpod. If you're saying Team Pear Deck, I'm not going to hate on you because I started off with Pear Deck,
okay. But then
ultimately Nearpod won me over. So I'm curious what your take is.
So, you know, Nearpod is a... In our district, it's a district licensed tool, right? So yeah. Nearpod is what we did training on, supported. And then last year, I did a zero period at one of our high schools and for computer science. And that school had a movement looking at Pear Deck.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't really looked into it or seen it much before. And so I was curious, so I met with some of those teachers as the tech coach at the time, and they were showing me how they were using it and what they liked about it. So actually, I started to adopt and use Pear Deck in my zero period class, Scott.
Oh, so
here I'm the tech coach teaching Nearpod. And then and personally, I was finding benefits with the Pear Deck. So this is what I have to say. Nearpod... Hands down, you cannot beat the curated library of professional presentations mm-hmm. that they have. And they have just recently even done some new updates that, you know, have some of the features that I really liked in Pear Deck that I was using before. So what I was using was those pop-up activities that mm-hmm. were on the moment where you could choose, you know, like an activity for a student to do. Maybe it's the... KWL chart, or you can have them drag a circle to a certain area of the screen for picking an idea. So it was on these fly type of tools as I was teaching that I could just pop up really quickly. We could have that interactivity in the classroom. Where Nearpod was a little bit, I had to pre-plan things a little bit more, where I didn't really have this access to these pop-up activity type of tools. But what I've seen in the recent update with Nearpod, they have added to their draw tool in Nearpod a lot of the activities I was using from Pear Deck for these pop-up activities. So Nearpod I know most, you know, just because of the in-depth training that we do. But on a personal side, as a teacher, I was using Pear Deck more.
Yeah. I think initially, and even right now, I really like the data that Pear Deck provides as a tool. And I think it does a little bit better of a job. And you're right, when those drawing features came out and some of the newer interactive Pear Deck features, they had a leg up on Nearpod, and Nearpod kind of saw that and really mimicked and mirrored some of those key features and elements. And I really like that, especially doing edu protocols, things like sketch and tell or thin slides. You could do a quick little thin slide with the draw tool now, and either tool really, and it's great. And I love how you can bring in other images. I really like, blanking out on the name. Is it the collaborative board, right? In Nearpod, it really reminds me of Padlet. And so I like that that's all in one. I like that they've added gamified elements like time to climb in there. I wish they had something like GimKit like to bring in there. Hey, Rachel's dropping in saying hello.
Hey, that's awesome.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I agree with you. I think the gamified part was really great that Nearpod added, but I do think they need to have some other options in there. So it's not always the same game.
Yes. Switch it up a little bit. And I wish I could do some fast and curious in there. Kind of like quizzes style. So, hey, buy them out, Nearpod. Buy them out. Absorb them. Get them in there, because I want them. Scott Nunes wants them for his teachers. I want those games embedded in there. You know, I really like having individual apps and supporting smaller companies. But, you know, with COVID happening, I'm realizing, ooh, it's a lot easier for teachers if something is kind of all together. And they're not going, especially for the elementary students. It's just a little easier. It doesn't mean anyone can't do it, because K2 can too, right? You know, our young learners, we shouldn't just write them off. I was on Education Today earlier this morning before we started work with Dr. Dan Krynas, and he called me out a little bit and challenged me and reminded me, our elementary learners, right? Let's not sell them short. Let's give them that opportunity and really see where they can go with a tool or an idea. And I think that's so good.
I agree.
Rachel saying, agreed, Scott. I want lots of variety in Nearpod. Exactly what we were talking about this morning. Yeah. We're working on some Nearpod stuff right now. I won't divulge too many of our MCS secrets. We got our buddy Gabriel Carrillo. Thanks for dropping in. I appreciate you, brother. And feel free to chime in too.
We definitely want to, you know, we are careful in our district to have adopt a tool and then go all in it for training, just because it takes, you know, a year first just to figure out what this tool is, how does this fit in, second year kind of going next steps, third year reevaluate this, do we need to tune in to this tool more, is there additional areas that we need to focus on with PD and training and how we can help with student learning, or do we need to look at something else? So I think a lot of what we're going to be doing is more a 3-year cycle and kind of keep a commitment, helping teachers know that, you know, this isn't just going to be this year and no support later.
Yeah, I think that's really important for teacher investment, student investment. We're not just whizzing in and out of tools.
Yes.
So while the cool new tool is really neat to jump into, take something like Moat. I love Moat, but as you know, I really didn't put like a formal request on that because I had this feeling that Google was going to step it up and add a feature like that. And they just did recently. So you can add audio comments pretty easily in Google Slides directly now. And you don't necessarily need a tool like Moat. So while that's a great extension, I think it's been nullified for the most part, at least for right now. So I'd love to see them come back and rally and challenge that. I am all about the little guy, but I also want the all-in-one, right? It's this conundrum. It's like the old school characters where you got like the angel and the devil on one side, right?
Yeah. I'll give my vote to Nearpod.
Okay. We're good then. But not knocking on Pear Deck. It's a powerful tool. I appreciate the Pear Deck community. The nice thing
of having competition is that they can, you know.
Yeah, they can elevate one another, and I really like that. And I'm seeing that a lot with Microsoft and Google now. Okay. I definitely started off as, you know, a Microsoft guy early on, growing up with PowerPoint, Excel, and then Google won me over, a big Google guy. And then lately, probably the last 2 years, Microsoft's been winning me over. Their acquisition of Flipgrid was huge. I really like that. All of the stuff they're doing with accessibility, immersive reader. I really like the transcribe tool. Now they have dark mode, which is really cool. So you can change the theme, like in Word Online, you can have the screen be dark and have the fonts be contrasted with a lighter color, which is really neat. And it's something, you know, that brings me into our next segment, just kind of some EdTech updates. I wanted to talk about GimKit Inc. I think
that is
so cool. It seems to be the brainchild of Jeff, the creator and one of the founders of GimKit. Him and his mentor Jeff created GimKit when he was in high school, which is so cool. Definitely am all about supporting students and highlighting their work. In fact, one of my former students is helping out a local YouTuber. You may or may not have heard of him. Shout out to Tyler Oliveira. He was from Enox, where I taught at before getting this tech coaching job. So I kind of followed his career a little bit. He makes kind of zany, crazy videos for the youth. You know, some of it's a little bit explicit. You know, I'm not a fan of that part, but he's not targeting our audience. He's targeting the youth. And I think there's some things he does really well in terms of branding, marketing, forming content, targeting an audience, and then connecting, impacting, and scaling his vision and his product and his voice. And what he's done is he's hired a lot of local youth, like one of my former students, Haciel, and Haciel came up through our visual arts program here in our district and is now part of that like video crew for him. And so, that's so cool to come out of high school and get connected. And so we're keeping both of these very talented individuals within our community, and they're doing what they want to do right now, which is awesome. And going back to GimKit, I know I went on a tangent here. I think it's so powerful that we have a youthful leader in this product, really reflecting and ideating what he needed as a student, talking about Josh, the founder, and bringing this concept. And so what I really like about this feature is kind of like what Adobe's done by bringing in AI. Josh has done the same thing. And so there's a very intuitive design. Students can now showcase a variety of work in a variety of ways. So think like Google Slides, Google Docs. But it takes out the guesswork. You can format it pretty seamlessly. And if you're doing something like a visual project, let's say like a presentation, right? The color schemes are limited, so it puts you in a box a little bit, but kind of like Adobe Spark, it's taking the guesswork out in terms of the scheme. So if you choose a dark background, it will give you a contrasted text. So you won't be able to choose the text color, but it'll automatically choose a light text for you to complement that darker color and vice versa. Yeah, and I think that's so cool. And it uses basic design principles and elements to get the job done. So if you're already a fan of GimKit, definitely play around and tinker with GimKit Ink. That's definitely on my task list for this month to explore. And that's a training I want to develop, not only GimKit, which by the way, based upon my results, is one of the number one most requested training. So I'm glad we're able to offer that training this month to our teachers. After checking out our training, I want to see how we can kind of tap into this new feature and help out some of our high flyers with some of those advanced features. And I want to showcase the Fast and Curious Edu protocol with that. It's a fun one. I really miss doing that with my students. If there's one classroom activity I miss, it would be either any aspect of my Hunger Games unit, because that's all fun, or it would be doing Fast and Curious with the students. That's one I love. What EdTech updates do you want to share, Matthew?
I had a question on the GimKit.
Yeah.
I had seen that, you know, this is definitely a passion project for the creator of GimKit. And I agree with you. I think, you know, he's coming from that perspective of just being a student in our systems, you know, in the public or in the school systems. And so he's having that fresh perspective of what, you know, could be used with digital tools. Is now the GimKit, you can have just so many for free for the games. Do you know with this ink feature, is there a pricing plan or is it free?
So I have to do some more digging on that. Okay. I bet you it's part of the pricing plan. That would be my guess. If anyone watching knows, let me know. I already pay for it. And as I was talking about it, I realized, ooh, I didn't do my due diligence and research that before talking about that. So I'm not entirely sure, but I hope somebody in the chat can chime in or Google search it for us. So I know it's right on the main page.
Yeah, that'd be great to know. And then and one thing I really appreciate about their design of the GimKit Inc. website is now in my role, a lot of these apps are coming to us. We get about 60 a month to our department.
Wow.
Coming from all our 34 school sites. And so each one, we have, we have set time during the week to review these. But the first process is, what is the tool? Do we have something that matches that already, you know, in our district? Second, also finding out from the requester, you know, how would they use this? What were their thoughts with how this would help them and what they're trying to do? And then the next step is if we are getting closer to looking at this as a tool to approve, we have to look at the privacy accessibility options. And one thing I appreciate what they did on the top of their website, they have this button that says things to know, and it has accessibility and privacy right there on that menu. Usually I have to hunt for that.
Awesome. Yeah. That's a big thing for us.
So that I appreciate. So he's also being mindful of what school districts need to know when they're approving these apps. That's great.
No, I really like that too. And Jeff is great on the business side with that. What was your EdTech update?
Yeah, so Schoology is our official LMS, and they recently been purchased by PowerSchool maybe a year ago or so.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, and so they had a roadmap update session they had this week, and just showcasing new updates that are coming to Schoology, but a lot of things that we've been needing for so long. So a couple of things that I really liked is, as you mentioned earlier with Flipgrid and the immersive reader tools in it, we're getting immersive reader integrated within Schoology itself, which is going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw that. I was really excited about that. I really like immersive reader. I think it's powerful. You know, if I were to compare Microsoft and Google, that's another one, right? Google, you got to catch up there. And in terms of translation tools, for the languages we have in our area, we have quite a blend. We're one of those areas a lot of people migrate to. I think Immersive Reader and the Microsoft translation tool does a way better job than the Google translation tool.
Yeah, there's no comparison, right?
Yeah.
There's not really anything. There might be like third-party things that you might pay for to add to stuff, but you're right. Hands down, Microsoft's really centered on that with education. Mm-hmm. Does a great job. A couple other Schoology updates are the assessment feature that they have in it. They were able to add instructor feedback, and this can be in a variety of ways. This can be audio, video, text, images. So a really great way to give that feedback. How important is, you know, that immediate feedback anytime a student is working with assessments or a test or a quiz? And I'm really glad that they went that route. I'm really happy to see that they're updating the UI or the user interface.
Right.
Especially for elementary, making it.
Yeah, that's huge.
It is. It is. And then even for secondary, they had a new look at what that will be coming out soon. Course templates.
That's the one that's really going to affect me.
Yes.
Being one of the leads on the virtual
school
that we have.
Yes.
That's huge because our teachers are having to load the same content. Well, if we have this template, they could just grab this templated course. Everything could be there, and it's tying in with some projects I have, not only for our summer PD, but just some. I was already designing some templated items for teachers, so it's going to be ready to go. So I can't wait to load that content there.
I agree.
Yeah, Rachel's working with me on that. So super excited too. That came at the perfect time. I'll let you keep going. I'm curious to see if you're going to mention my favorite one.
The Mastery tool got an update.
Okay, yeah.
And now you can select the different levels for grade scales and how they would fit into the Mastery. The standards grade passback with PowerSchool is going to help out, especially with our elementary schools in our district, because they're standard-based grading. The other item that I really liked was the accommodations are going to be synced now. That will be very helpful because you and I as a teacher, you have to go to PowerSchool and the attendance screen, you know, to try to kind of look at that. So having that, you're more in the classroom in the Schoology course to have it available right there for the educator. This is just a personal side for me. I don't know how many people are going to be excited, but the app switcher in the top right-hand corner to switch over to our PowerSchool apps right from the Schoology screen, I thought was going to be super helpful. Kind of one-stop hub kind of to link all those products together. What were you really liking out of it?
There we go. The one I'm really excited about and have been waiting for a while now is because Test Quiz is going to go away eventually, is having those question banks, because I love doing randomly generated complex tests and quizzes in there to really differentiate what shows up. So having maybe like 10 possible questions of a particular question type, that way every test is unique and differentiated as much as possible. And then I also like using that kind of randomized feature for doing like some choose your own adventure type things with student choice. And I got this from Geraldine. She's known as Mac and Beans on Twitter.
That's right.
So shout out to coach. We also had her on the podcast. She showed me how she'll take like six short stories, for example, and then students choose which short story they do. And then there's a variety of activities that they can do. Some they have to do, some are optional, and then some they unlock. And so using that random question generator really helps with that. So I really like that. And Glenn Irvin from On Education also showed me how he uses some of those elements in Schoology to do like breakout rooms. And so when I was in the classroom, particularly during my Hunger Games unit, I would do breakouts digitally incorporating Schoology. And so that's just going to add to the fun. So I can't wait. And now with the feedback options there, how you can do audio, video, or textual feedback, or a combination of all three, I love it. So it really scaled. You know, we've been waiting a while for these updates. So thank you, Schoology, for delivering. Of course, I wanted them ASAP, right? Especially in March, right? Just give me everything. But patient endurance attains all things. So I'm so glad to have it here. And as we're kind of wrapping up, I know we're skipping some things here that we had on our list, Matthew, but I wanted you to really showcase how to thrive right now. You know, I think, you know, we talked about the tech. We talked about some updates. We got an update on you and I and our new roles and how things are working. How can people thrive? What are your pro tips, you know, for right now? And, you know, bring in that great SEL website that I've been waiting to share out.
Yeah, thank you. So in December, our CTO, my supervisor, asked me, we're hearing that need of this student engagement with distance learning. And what tools do we have out there with our current tech tools that align with SEL, social emotional learning? And I said, well, let me look into that a little bit more. And we have one-to-one meetings each week. I'll share out next week. And the following week, I said, this topic is there. This is a really big topic, more than just 1 week to prepare resources for. And I go, is this a project I could work on? So over the winter break, working on a SEL social emotional learning resource website for educators in our district. And I wanted to also reach out to teachers who were already incorporating and doing this in their classroom right now. So several different teachers that were recommended to me and met with them, and really just hearing from them that, you know, they felt that their students learned better if they liked you. And they felt that connecting with them, finding out how are they feeling that day, even if it's weekly or daily, but even weekly, how are you feeling? And having that one-on-one moment with their students, having those opportunities to get to know them more, they found that the students, they actually engaged more in the classroom when they knew that their teacher understood them, remembered things about them. And that was pretty huge. So I was like, you know, we need to some way showcase this. So can I share my screen real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Let's see. So let's share screen. This is my first time trying this.
And just to adding, Rachel's jumping in and sharing that students learn better if they like you. What a concept. Yeah, you know, it's so relational. One of the things I would do and include on my own pacing guide was to develop these relationships. So I focus not so much on the content, but on the connections. And yeah, we started out a little behind, but we ultimately caught up, because what that rapport and those increased relationships did was they increased the student investment, right? And when students are invested, They're happier. They learn better, right? It's that whole Maslow before Bloom's. Those hierarchy of needs are more easily reached. That doesn't mean you're going to get everyone or meet all of those needs, but you can meet more of those needs. And having that connection and that attention to detail where you remember, like, hey, don't you have a match today? Where's the game at today? Is it a, you know, or hey, I'm going to be at your water polo match today. Going to student events was huge. And then they always liked seeing me bring my family too. So it was a family thing, going to the basketball games, especially when we were going for the playoffs and hanging out, and they could see, you know, this human side, like Mr. Nunes isn't just this guy that dresses up and has this cool beard and this hard part in his hair. He's got a family. There is a Mrs. Nunes. She does exist.
No, that's great. That's great. So
yeah, this, so we can see the screen.
Okay, pretty cool. So on here, I'll kind of delve more into this, really seeing when the SEL was, you know, aligned with the EdTech tool, that it really was following one of these main foundations of CASEL is the main framework in education for SEL, with those five pillars in that framework. But the website also includes videos of what does that look like with a classroom on those five main ideas of responsible decision-making, self-awareness, self-management, relationship skills.
Hey, sorry to interrupt. Yeah. We have the man, Matt Miller, joining us. What? Matt, you're awesome. Thanks for jumping in. I know you got Ditch Book going on right now, finishing up actually. So cool that you're joining us. He says, with you guys, going to extracurricular shows students you care in a big, special way. Yeah. For all you newer teachers and maybe even some of the seasoned vets out there, if you want to get some rapport and get some student investment, go to the extracurriculars. And I love how Matt phrased that, right? Not just sport extracurriculars, but just in general. So I would go to our speech debates too. We had a big one we hosted every year. That's huge. So keep going, Matthew.
So really building upon, you know, these frameworks, Wheel of Motions, interactive, Big Five Traits, psychology uses this a lot. So kind of giving a place of foundations. Then really the most popular parts are the educator ideas, EdTech tools, and the teacher showcases right here in the middle. So the educator ideas are different ideas that are coming from, you know, within our larger national PLNs and sharing out of different ideas, what teachers are doing in their classroom. Even linked on here are different websites, articles, templates, lesson plans teachers can get involved with. Then what we did is the EdTech tools, they're listed in alphabetical order here, but the EdTech tool itself, how it aligns with SEL, what activities they could do with it, and even just how to learn to use the tool itself. So teachers might say, wow, that's really neat. I like to do that, but how do I even use the tool? So this has Class Dojo, Edpuzzle, Flipgrid, GoNoodle, Google Forms. These are ones that we're using in our district. But one I think that's really neat, you know, I know you were sharing about Microsoft. They recently added this praise badge within Teams and OneNote. And these are really great ways that you can recognize students and give them, it's almost like a digital certificate that you award. It's pretty
neat. That's really cool. And it makes me think about our local badge project, right? The SCOE badge project that our buddy Greg Eilers and Brandon Shutt lead up right now. That's amazing. Talk about incentivizing and connecting with the community to bringing them in. I like that CASEL graphic because it showcases all of the parts that affect students and teachers. You know, our influence goes beyond classroom walls. I think back to a teacher note I got last year, and the parent let me know that the effect I was having on their student affected them in a profound way, and they loved that I was supporting their student and meeting their student where they were at, even though that student was not focusing on academics. They were dealing with some other things. They were processing some trauma, and you know, I was just there for that student and kind of gave them their own space and reminded them that they were valued regardless, right? Their contribution to the class didn't necessarily need to be some exercise of academic prowess, right? There are other forms of intelligence. You know, there's EQ, right? Alongside with EQ. And sometimes those that excel in EQ, that, you know, emotional intelligence, do so much better in life. We're finding out more and more those that have a better EQ do well. You could take somebody like Gary Vee, a multimillionaire, has all these corporations, and he got D's and F's in high school and in school and didn't graduate. Definitely all for education, obviously, and going to college, but there's a lot to be said for knowing one's strengths and going after that. And for some, that doesn't include college, right? You can just go out there and get that. And so I acknowledged some skills that student had, and they were preparing for an alternative career. And I supported that and met them where they were. And it was just a great experience. And I'm not gonna lie, I scored a few free, like cupcakes out of it, which I'm grateful for. I remember one day not bringing any food and not having breakfast, and I had a cupcake on my car. I was doing something in my car, and the student put a card and a cupcake on the hood of my vehicle, and it just like made my day. And it was one of those days I was like drained, burning the candle at both ends. It was right before COVID. It was about the time we knew, COVID was around, and, you know, we were left wondering what's it going to look like. Right. So it was a challenging time. And so it was nice to have somebody bright in my day. Shout out to all the students and parents out there that, you know, just do a simple gesture or a thank you to a teacher or somebody in education. Even if you got to stretch yourself a little bit, little thanks goes a long way in education, and teachers doing that for teachers too, that's big. And shout out to all the educators right there out there right now. I know it's hard. Hang in there.
I will have to say you do a great job in that. And I don't know if, I mean, you don't mean it to be this way, but many of the people that you have reached out to have shared back to me, look what Scott sent me.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I am being true to that, but they you have made your day with that recognition to them.
You know, I had somebody, there was a teacher, or it wasn't a teacher, it was somebody in a different department. I won't call them out, but I just said something nice to them. I said the equivalent of, hey, I know it's hard right now, but I appreciate you helping me with this. And they said, wow, you made my day. I was like, wow, that's awesome. Sometimes it's a smile. Sometimes it's a thank you. You never know. And sometimes you may get nothing, right? You don't do it for the kudos, but it's nice. I'm not going to say I don't like affirmation. I do. That's my love language. Definitely like words of affirmation. That definitely does kind of fill my bucket. So I appreciate that, Matthew. That means a lot. And just to kind of add on with our website, I generated a little bit of a conversation this morning before work on, you know, what should districts be doing now or sites. And Mandy Froelich like jumped in graciously and just added, you know, talking to teachers and asking them, you know, what they need and want and helping out there, and then offering supports, but really looking like out of all the supports you're looking or offering, what's working, what's not. Leave the ones that are working, obviously, get rid of the rest. Like, let's not bog down the system. Yeah. And then see what else we can add in and really looking at the whole person. So what kinds of areas, not just maybe mental health, but maybe physical health or spiritual health. And when we were talking, as we were kind of mapping out our program today, you had talked about how I should talk about the push-up challenge. Yeah. That's been a great one. Talk about something out of left field. Tim Cavey and the Teachers on Fire community started this 10K push-up challenge.
10K in 1 year or?
In 1 year. So if you do 28 push-ups a day starting January 1st and go through December 31st, which, by the way, listeners, it's not too late to join in on that challenge. You could jump in and trust me, you'll be smoking people in no time as long as you have that patient endurance, right? And we're not qualifying what kinds of push-ups they have to be. These don't have to be like diamond push-ups or on your knuckles or fingertip or thumb push-ups or clapping push-ups or even traditional push-ups, right? And we want to destigmatize kneeling push-ups, right? You may have grown up hearing them called girl push-ups as if it were an insult. Not necessarily. If you're recovering from an injury, staggered leaning, angled push-ups where you're more upright are great to build up that strength. So if you can't even do a regular push-up, try kneeling. If you can't do a kneeling push-up, try one where you have about a 30-degree angle and you're leaning up against a wall or a railing and you're pushing up that way. And then just increase the number to build up that strength and let your joints get used to it. And then you can do it. For example, when I first started, like I couldn't do more than 20 at a time. I was flabbergasted at how few I could do at a given time. You know, I kind of prided myself at being able to drop down and do 20 or 25 at any given moment, no matter the kind of shape I was in. And I couldn't do that. I'd fallen below that benchmark. And so I was really motivated to kind of at least get there. And after day two, I was so sore. I couldn't do any on day three. Like I couldn't even do one. I tried to do one, couldn't do one. So I just kind of sucked it up. And then day four, I came back and gradually built up that first week, week and a half was a little rough getting into that habit. But then I got into the habit of doing it every day. And then I saw the growth people were having. And I thought, why do I need to stop at 28? Can I do 40? Okay, I did 40. Can I do 50? Can I do 60? And then I saw some guys doing like over 100 a day. I'm like, what? How's this guy doing 112 push-ups every day? Like, you know, and I saw like, hey, you know, this guy's not like The Rock. I'm not trying to put anyone down, but wasn't like this. These people had like amazing Hollywood-esque physiques. They were normal people. And I'm like, if they can do it, I can do it. And I'm happy to share now. I'm almost at 10,000. I'll probably break 10,000 this week. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So my average is like 220 some a day. And I just kind of
you pace that out throughout the day?
Throughout the day, okay. Before work, lunch, and then mostly in the evening. Is when I do it. So I'm a little behind. I've been behind the last 3 days. I'm battling an injury. I did so many one day. I did 700. So talk about overdoing it. My pecs got so tight. It was messing with my shoulder. And so I've really been having to stretch and slow down a little bit. But I have some big goals. I'm not sharing publicly what my goals for the year are because I'm already going to hit that 10K mark this month, but I'm scaling up in a big way. I'll share that. Once I'm sure I can do it, I'll share it out. Right. But I have a much bigger number than 10K in mind.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. That sounds amazing. You probably should need to look at what the world record is
There's some guy I remember watching when I was a kid.
Okay.
He did 1,000 push-ups in one sitting.
That's like incredible to me.
Yeah, 1,000 jumping jacks and 1,000 sit-ups. And then he like ran. It was like a Guinness Book of World Records, like most fit man. So there are people that blow me out of the water. These numbers, they sound big. And I'm here to let you all know, they sound big and I'm proud of the numbers.
Yeah, totally.
But they're attainable. Okay. I didn't think they were attainable until I tried. So your thing doesn't have to be push-ups or fitness. Maybe it can be related to mental health. Maybe it's starting something new, starting a podcast. I'll tell you what, it may seem like the market's getting flooded for educational books, podcasts, materials, but you never know. You could have three people tuning in. Mm-hmm. You could have 300 or 3,000. You just don't know till you try. And if it's something that fills your bucket, I say do it. Creating and playing with edtech tools, that's my jam. It fills my bucket. I've been doing a lot of 3D printing lately, like I showed you, Matthew, right? We got
joining the show. You got a Mandalorian.
Yeah, we got a little Mandalorian. I actually didn't make this one. This was given to me at Tech Rodeo last year, so shout out to Tech Rodeo. And this one, I won't spoil it, but this one is going to play a role tomorrow at IdeaCon. So I encourage you all to check out my session with Jamie Donnelly at IdeaCon on ARVR. And I'm going to be exploring and talking about how you can take real world images and bring them into AR spaces and also 3D print them. So we're going to showcase how that's done. A lot of stuff on the Merge Cube too. So be ready to learn, be ready to play. That's going to be at 10 a.m. Pacific. So check that out tomorrow morning. I'm really pumped and excited about that. And how can I not be presenting alongside Jamie Donnelly? She's amazing in her own right. And I'm very gracious that she was willing to bring me on and let me share. Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
Is this recorded or?
You know, I've been so busy. I don't know if that one's recorded. I think I would assume so.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I think it is. It's not free. So you do have to, have paid for the registration.
IdeaCon is Illinois.
Yeah, formerly ICE. So being from Illinois, you're probably familiar. It's your home state's amazing conference. And then they partnered with TCEA, the Texas conference, this year. So they're the dynamic duo. I think that's cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, all month they have content. So this is like, if you want to get ahead in the profession and kind of, you know, be competitive, right now is the time not to stay tired and, you know, kind of go into this winter slump. Right now is the time to shine. It's grind time, as I would tell my students, and get out there and find whatever your grind is and go away at it, you know, chip away and build up this body of work. So if it's grant writing, if it's building your curriculum, or if it's engaging with your family, right? Get out there and do it. Find the joys in life, whatever that is for you, and go after it. Yeah, because right now we're in these challenging times. Let's turn those challenges into opportunities for success. So I'd encourage you all to do that.
Good words.
Yeah, and I guess we'll wrap it up there. Thank you all for tuning in. Definitely a longer episode than I anticipated, but always a good time to chat with my buddy Matthew Ketchum. Where can they follow you on Twitter?
They can follow me if I ever get on Twitter. I need to get back to that. They can follow me at Matt EdTech Coach on Twitter.
Yeah, and you can follow the podcast on Twitter at TNT EdTech. You can follow me, Scott Nunes, on Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, YouTube. Probably missing a couple in there, at Mr. Nunes Teach. So stay in touch. If you have any podcast ideas or you want us to look into some tools or battle out some tools, let us know. Yes, please, please do. And you can find this podcast on the podcast player of your choice as well. So check us out there or on the web at www.tntedtech.com. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, over here. Thank you. Over here.
Thank you for listening to the TNT EdTech Podcast. You can follow us on any podcast player of your choice. Also on Twitter at TNT EdTech. Follow us on the web at www.tntedtech.com.